Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels comes from our epistle reading of Revelation. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. Let's follow the text. John was caught up into the eternal and the invisible in order that he might catch a glimpse of these eternal and invisible realities and paint for us, the church, a picture of all of these things that had been given to him to see and to share. Today's scene has literally been painted 1,000 or more times. We think of the great works of art of the past to the present, depicting Archangel Michael, sword in hand, standing on the neck of Satan, who's seen as that great serpent of nightmares. And yet, this dragon is cast out of heaven, thrown down from that place to this place of earth for a period of time that only God knows. Our text speaks of victory, and we should be sure of it. But what exactly does that victory mean? How do we hear it? How do we receive it? I dare say, how do we own it even today in our present lives? We hear about a great war that took place in heaven. And this almost sounds too outlandish to believe, doesn't it? How could there be a war in heaven? How in the world would God allow such a thing to happen in his presence? And it almost sounds as if there might have been doubt as to whether or not good or evil would prevail. That's what we think when we think of battles and wars. But the victory of this battle was never in doubt. Satan and his angels didn't have a snowball's chance in hell against Michael and the angels of heaven. This was a rout, a battle that was over before it even began. But if we continue down this story and we make some connections for ourselves that we might not have made beforehand, it does appear, and it is true, that there was a time and place in which Satan had a place in the heavenly council. Even after this Genesis chapter 3 and fall stuff, and we hear about that one time at least in the book of Job, don't we? Where it seems as if God and the devil square off against each other with Job's soul seemingly at stake. And of course, that's not true. Not even the devil can pry God's children out of his hand. But Satan does have a place there in that heavenly council. And he does have a word to speak. His place, or perhaps it's better said his office, is that of accuser. His job is to accuse. And this might sound odd, but this office is a godly ordained office. The devil accuses Job and all others in that heavenly throne room, that heavenly council. And his accusations, if you think about it, aren't false. They aren't made up. What he does is point to the sin of sinners, and then point to the holy and righteous law of God. In a certain sense, I guess we could say that's good, or at least the correct thing to do. For what else does the law do in the hearts of sinful man? It accuses. It declares the sinner unrighteous, unholy, not perfect, like the law demands of us. Luther will say in his commentary to the Galatians, on Galatians, the law, when it accuses, does its job rightly. It's what it's supposed to do. Our Lord even uses these accusations of the law in order to drive us back to the gospel. So when the Lord speaks his word in truth and purity to the broken sinner, the law is never spoken alone. It's always spoken with the gospel right there in tow, right on its heels, in order to provide the comfort that this broken sinner needs. At the same time, the gospel's never spoken alone either, for what use is the proclamation of sins forgiven if the law has never actually been spoken, and therefore sin isn't even known? So when God speaks, he speaks his whole counsel into the ears of man. But Satan's different. That deceiver of the whole world actually uses his office of accuser sinfully and against the will of God. The devil cares nothing for the gospel. That's his whole thing. He hates that there's another word apart from the law. The law which damns and declares the sinner as unworthy is the only word that Satan ever wants to be spoken. So this is the only word that he ever speaks into the ears of man, the only word that he ever speaks before the heavenly council, and yes, this is the only word that he ever wants spoken to God in regard to you. So when he speaks in this office of accuser, he speaks gleefully of your damnation, and that is using his office in an evil way. See, he says to God, see the type of sinners these humans are. They were supposed to be the pinnacle of your creation. They were supposed to be made in your image. But because of their sin, your image has been lost on them. They aren't holy. They aren't righteous, they aren't good, they aren't worthy to be in your presence, ever. They deserve nothing but eternal death and damnation and punishment. That's what they deserve. And that is the only thing that you can give to them, God. They must be damned for all eternity. You must hide your face from them, never show it to them again, remove your image forever. That's what the law demands. That's what they must receive. This was the accusation of the devil in the heavenly council. And truth be told, it isn't a lie. It is in every way the God's honest truth. But it's told without the hope and without the desire of anything good. It's told in the hope and the desire of sending everyone to hell, all sinners. The devil, he rejoices as the sinners die in their sin. God, he weeps. So there's another word to be spoken in that heavenly throne room, that heavenly council. And that word is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son takes his rightful place in this heavenly throne room at his ascension. And it's at his ascension where he's been coronated as king over all things, over all creation. Everything has been placed in subjection under him. All things lay at his feet like a footstool. So we should probably ask the question, what gives Jesus the right to stand over all things and speak his word in that heavenly council over and against the accusations of the devil? What makes him worthy to proclaim this word of the gospel before the face of the Father is his death on the cross with all the world's sin in tow. His 3-day rest in the tomb where he took those sins and buried them deep, never to come out again. His descent into hell where he proclaimed victory over everything that is evil, and his triumphal resurrection from the grave where he was vindicated from all sin and destroyed the powers of death once and for all. In accomplishing all of these things, Christ Jesus won the right to stand in that heavenly council and speak a different word to the Father. His is not a word of lawful accusation. His is a word of the gospel, of forgiveness, of life and salvation. And so as Christ ascends to the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father, his victory is sure and it is certain. He speaks a different word than that which is spoken by the devil. And it's this word that declares that the devil and all of his accusations are false and invalid. At the ascension, at these words spoken by Jesus Christ, a great war breaks out. And John sees this war. He sees the archangel Michael fighting with Satan in order to cast him out, him and his demons and all of his accusations out of the heavenly council. What this war looked like, I can't say, but the battle was never in doubt. Satan had no power there, and he had no authority either, ever to speak against the departed saints that had overcome sin and death and the devil and all the demons by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. The church triumphant stands in the heavenly places, vindicated against the accusations of the devil by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satan's cast out of heaven. He's cast down to earth. And it's here that he takes up this battle once again. He tried to wage war against Christ and was defeated by the powerful weakness of the cross. He tried to wage war against the church and was defeated by the powerful weakness of the cross. So now he turns his attention to those within the church militant, against those within the church still on this earth. That's why John says, "Woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short." The war wages on here on this temporal plane. Satan and his fallen angels attack us daily and even hourly. Those invisible forces of evil which prowl around us like a roaring lion never cease to stand before us and whisper their evil accusations into our ears. And what word do they proclaim to us? What is the only word that they would ever have us hear? That there's no gospel. That there's only law. The devil accuses us and puts before us and our eyes only the law which we have not kept. And he leaves it at that. Absolutely nothing else. No gospel, no forgiveness, no cross, no Jesus, only the damning law that declares us unworthy and promises only eternal death and damnation. That's a terrifying word to hear. And if it's the only word that we ever hear, then it is a word that damns us. And in a certain sense, again, the devil does speak the truth. We're not worthy. We don't deserve anything from God except his wrath. We've not loved God with our whole heart, with all of our strength and mind. We haven't certainly loved our neighbor as ourselves. And it's in this way that the devil wishes to drag us to hell. He works feverishly because he knows that his time is short. He knows that Christ will come again once and for all at the end of it all. And he knows that Jesus will come on that last day and chain him and all the demons and all their accusations forever in the pits of hell. So the devil fights against us. And it's scary. And it's more than scary, it's terrifying. But it doesn't need to be. For the victory that Christ won on his cross, vindicated through his resurrection, declared eternal at his ascension, is a victory over sin and death and all of the accusations that the demons have against the church, the whole church, the church triumphant and the church militant, the church in heaven and the church here on earth, because there aren't two churches. There's one church. There's one body of Christ. So that means for you the exact same thing as it means for those in heaven: victory. And yes, the devil may still prowl around us and fight and tempt. He very well might accuse you and point to your sin, and then to the law, and then back to you and your sin. And he very well might whisper all of those damning things into your ears. And yes, he still might attempt to bring all of those accusations before your Father in heaven. But there's another word that is spoken before the face of God, a word which silences all the words of the devil and throws him and all of his accusations out of that heavenly council. And that word is the word of Jesus. Satan may say to the Father, look at those sinners and look at all of their sin. Look at all of their dreadful works and their horrible, evil ways. Look at them, God, and declare them guilty. But then Jesus says, look at me, Father. Look at me and my cross and my resurrection and my ascension. Remember, dear Father, that the sins of the whole entire world were mine on that cross, and you poured out your wrath on me. And I declare that it was finished, and it was. And I buried all of those in the grave. Remember that burial. Remember my tomb. All of those sins are dead and buried and paid for. Look at me, Father, and then see them through me. They're righteous and holy and perfect because they're mine and I am theirs. Do away with the devil and all of his accusations. He has no place here in the heavenly council. His word is not to be heard. The only word that you should hear about them is sins forgiven. So, today we celebrate the Feast of Saint Michael and All Angels, the day in which the devil and all of his accusations were cast out of heaven, and his word was shut up forever. Today we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving, for we, just like all of the saints who have gone before us, have conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of his cross and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. We stand, confess the one true common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.